Let us pray. Would you join me in a responsive prayer as we open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit and hear the scripture this morning? Amazing God, you call us today just as you have called the disciples on the day of Pentecost. You challenge and support us, revealing the brokenness in our communities, giving us the peace that our world needs. You point us to the pain of the cross and then remind us of the joy of the resurrection. Transform us, O God, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Blow through our worship and change our lives together forever. Amen. Hear now a reading from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. If you can't tell through the windows, the sun is out. I can see it back there. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and the tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who were speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were perplexed and amazed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. Listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, my God declares, that I will pour out my Holy Spirit on all flesh. On all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Dwell on each of us. Dwell in each of us this morning as we open our hearts and our ears and our eyes to see and hear and feel what you need us to know this day. O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Typically, I get to see my sister and the kids about once a month. Our family has a lot of birthdays in April and in May, and we're big on being together to celebrate. So we get a little extra togetherness this time of year, but we don't have a lot of traditions around birthdays, usually just cake and a meal and presents, normal stuff. But my best friend, who is really also like a sister to me, has a really beautiful birthday tradition with her two boys. They're now 4 and 7. And every year on their birthdays, she takes time to sit down with them and tell them the story of their birth. Even before they're old enough to understand it, she has made it a tradition to tell them about the day they were born. It's oral history. It's a birth narrative. We do the same thing each year with Advent. We wait throughout Advent and we retell every year the story of Jesus's birth. And each year, 50 days after Easter, we retell the birth story of the church. What I think is extra special about Pentecost is that unless it falls on Memorial Day weekend, it's truly a church holiday. It's a Christian holiday that hasn't been co-opted by consumer culture. There's no Pentecostal flowers being sold, no red t-shirts with tongues of fire. They'd be cool. No special dinner prepared after church today, although you can come to Union Ale House and talk about the Holy Spirit moving in our church and our congregation. No tree to decorate, no presents to exchange. It doesn't get the kind of external pressure and expectations that Christmas and Easter do. No uptick in church attendance for Pentecost, although I think it would be good. We should push for it. Today is Pentecost Sunday, the birthday of the church. Seems like a good time to look back, to gather the courage to move forward, because the first disciples and all of us can definitely look at each other and say, wow, if we only knew then what we know now. It's healthy to look back and remember, to give thanks for the saints who have gone before us, who have created a way for us to keep moving forward. Because the life of faith is a life that takes courage. Confronting the unknown Confronting the unknown with commitment and faith. Pentecost always makes me think of these words from author and naturalist Annie Dillard from her book, Teaching a Stone to Talk. She wrote, "On the whole, I do not find Christians outside of the catacombs sufficiently sensible of conditions. Does anyone have the foggiest idea what sort of power we so blithely invoke? Or as I suspect, does no one believe a word of it? Churches are children playing on the floor with chemistry sets, mixing up a batch of TNT. To kill a Sunday morning, it is madness to wear ladies' straw hats and velvet hats to church. We should all be wearing crash helmets. Ushers should issue life preservers and signal flares. They should lash us to our pews. For the sleeping God may wake someday and take offense, or the waking God may draw us out to where we can never return." This quote isn't telling us that we should be afraid of the Holy Spirit, but we should be aware of her power. Yes, Pentecost is the birthday of the church. It's not really a story about the arrival of a nice, staid institution. It's not about the Catholic Church or any denomination or tradition that followed. It was not built to define tradition and maintain it at all costs, as the church is often mistaken. No, Pentecost is the birth of the church because it's when the Holy Spirit became available to all believers. And whenever the Holy Spirit shows up, there is often a big, huge disruption, a threat to our comfortable order. It's God shaking things up, as God always seems to do. And for those of us along for the ride, holding on for dear life, I went to Busch Gardens yesterday, and holding on for dear life seems like the story of yesterday's experience, all the wind rushing past our faces. We're not sure where we're going to end up. We're not sure where we're going. If we're on a roller coaster, especially one you've never been on, what's it going to do? What happens next? And all that wind and fire and disruption that we experience when we live into the Holy Spirit. Siri, nobody was talking to you. We don't know what's ahead. It had been 50 days, about 6 weeks, a month and a half, not very much time at all, just 50 days since Jesus' resurrection. Jesus had just ascended into heaven. He was gone. He left the disciples, and he told them to go back to Jerusalem and wait. But they didn't know what they were waiting for. And what they'd been thinking all along was a good vocational and political gamble had pretty much run out of gas and stalled. Anybody here know anything about cars? Nope. Nobody who's a little bit car savvy at all. Me neither, honestly. Mine is having trouble. It's in the shop. I heard Pastor Jim Somerville give a sermon entitled Out of Gas. He described in great detail the workings of a combustion engine. I thought about trying to use his illustration, but I really wouldn't do it justice. He came up with a great metaphor suggesting that a combustion engine is a miraculous invention, requiring intake, compression, combustion, and exhaust to work properly and move forward, whatever that means. Turn the key, it starts. It goes or it doesn't. He explained that the church has all those things. Intake, compression, combustion, exhaust. But without gas, we're not going anywhere. Gas, my friends, is the Holy Spirit. So the disciples were sitting in the upper room waiting for the Holy Spirit, not going anywhere. They were stranded. They were waiting for roadside assistance to deliver some gas. At his ascension, when Jesus went up into heaven, when he was getting ready to leave them, Jesus instructed them to go back to Jerusalem and wait. He told them power from on high was on the way, and their job was to hang on and just wait for what's coming next. Acts chapter 2 begins with this verse. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. That means, of course, that they were back in their meeting room, but the phrase also meant, given the different shades of Greek words here, that they were all together, all of one opinion, all thinking the same thing, all on the same page, all in agreement that their job was to keep working hard so things go on just like Jesus taught them. And what better way to do that, to return to the same town, to worship in the same temple, to keep up the lease on the same meeting space, begin deliberations about replacing their lost member, Judas, so there would be the exact same number of people in the group, and making absolutely, positively sure that Jesus will find everything in excellent order, just the way he left it when he gets back. That sounds like a good plan, right? Just leave everything the same. And while they were just doing what Jesus said to do, they didn't know the winds of change were about to blow. Jerusalem was filled with people from all over the place that day. The text says Jews from every nation under heaven were gathered. Many of them were visiting Jerusalem because of Shavuot, the Jewish festival of weeks. And the devout Jews were required by Jewish law to come to Jerusalem to celebrate. Shavuot was the marking of the 7 weeks from Passover and the remembrance of Yahweh giving the Torah to Moses on Mount Sinai, kind of like the birth of the Jewish faith. But not all of the people in Jerusalem that day were Jews, because it was a holiday, and in the way that holidays bring families and celebrations, travel obligations into our lives, a lot of worshipers, merchants, and travelers joined the regular population of Jerusalem to celebrate the holiday. Kind of like what happened a couple weeks ago as we kicked off tourist season at the beach. The Israelites celebrated the fruits of their wheat harvest, the results of their hard work, and today we celebrate the fruits of the Spirit, the results of God moving through the church in the world throughout time. Those results are seen in us as we continually seek to follow the way of Jesus into the countercultural kingdom of God as we are led by the Spirit. So the disciples were all in one place, doing what Jesus told them to do, wait for the Spirit, and then it happened. The overpowering sound of a rushing wind filled the house where the disciples were, slamming doors, flapping shutters, blowing around so hard that they had to cover their ears. It was so loud. And fire. Fire came down and rested on each one of them. A flame, the text says, and something else happened. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, everybody there, all of the people visiting the city, all of the foreigners providing services, all of them suddenly understood the disciples. They heard the story in their very own languages. One of the greatest problems in our world is that we don't listen to each other. In this Holy Spirit moment, the real miracle of Pentecost is that they could hear each other, not that they could speak a new language, not that they could add French or Greek or Tagalog to their resume, but that they could hear the good news. The Spirit arrived and the gospel message was proclaimed, and a whole crowd of people heard it. And it radiated out from that moment, and from right then, everything changed. The whole world changed. From then on, the church was always moving forward whenever the church followed the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit would let them know that the nice, comfortable, familiar city of Jerusalem was not their destination, but just their starting point. That their understanding of God through tradition and structure that they had always known was not what their futures held. That the upper room filled with the familiar faces even suddenly became a thing of the past. It couldn't possibly hold all of the people who wanted to hear, who had opinions to offer, who had voices to add to the conversation. Being followers of the resurrected God would take them to places they never imagined. A wind had blown in, fire had alighted, the Spirit of God had arrived. If only they had known then. If they had, they might have embraced the crash helmets, life preservers, and signal flares that were indicated by all the wind and fire. You can look back over 2,000 years of history and tell those disciples, you're going to be eaten by lions. This little community will lose its prophetic edge and be co-opted by the empire. It'll become known for corruption and misogyny and things like the Crusades, indulgences, colonization, and slavery. Their church will have a hand in excluding women, breeding racism, and the thousands of suicides of LGBTQ people who heard and hear again, even this week, in other churches, not this one, that they are not welcome. Whew. If the disciples had known then what we know now, I wonder if they would have stepped out in faith that day. But they did step out, and there's no going back. So what about us? The Spirit was always leading them and us forward. I believe what propelled them forward was Jesus' vision of the kingdom, the way he prepared them to understand all the scripture that had pointed toward his arrival. I believe what gave them courage was the dream of God's radical love lived in community that can change the world, that has changed the world. The power of the church began as little communities holding possessions in common and being family to each other. And then as they began building God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, these communities empowered women as their leaders and welcomed folks that others excluded. The Spirit's prompting the church birthed movements for abolition, suffrage, workers' rights and prison reform, religious freedom for all people and civil rights too. Maybe as Peter spoke the words of the prophet Joel, they began to see that the lively winds of the Spirit of God would move the church to places they couldn't see. The church would found hospitals and build schools. It would empower minority communities who were excluded from power elsewhere. It would become a platform for speaking up against misogyny and welcoming the stranger and standing arm in arm together as we say, "You're welcome here." Maybe they hoped that when the church, the body of Christ, the followers of Jesus followed God's Spirit in truth, that it would really bring God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. This is the church they hoped for. And what about us? Here we are celebrating once again the birthday of the church because we see God's Spirit of truth continuing to move us forward, because we believe we are part of God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, because we are committed to gathering with God to feed the body, mind, and spirit while being Christ's hands and feet as we love and serve our local community. And we do that by caring about the issues that matter, by consistently inviting others to the table so that they can experience healing and hope. Grateful that we don't walk alone on this journey of faith, because we are surrounded by those who love us and accept us as we are. That we have a rare and beautiful invitation to step into the beauty and pain of building community, and that we know people will be there when our lives fall apart. That our children, their lives and their hearts and their minds and their souls are being cherished and nurtured in this place. That new disciples are encountering this community and risking possibility that they may follow Jesus too. That our minds are engaged and our hearts are challenged to grow in our faith. That we have here the Church of Jesus Christ, a place of hope in a cold, hard world. This is what the church has been in its best moments. And this is what we have been in our best moments. And this is what the church can and must be next as we allow the Spirit to always move us forward. Let us be assured The Spirit of God is alive and well in this place, and she blows through our community. Hear her whisper a challenge. Bring everybody to the table. Everybody. Trust each other. Don't be afraid to fail. Take a risk. Mix it up. Be open to whatever comes next. View the future with hope and curiosity. Step out in faith toward whatever crazy direction God will lead you next. Believe in each other and believe in God. In other words, the winds are blowing. The fires are burning. It's Pentecost. And God is up to something. We don't know what's next. But the time to sit in the upper room is over. The wait is over. It's time to follow the Spirit out of the room and share the good news of God's freedom and hope. In the language that people can hear and understand, let us be the church. Not just in this room on Sundays, but everywhere we go, so that we can see the Spirit transforming our world right before our very eyes. Amen. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, sometimes we feel like we are not ready for you. But we know that you are ready for us, ready to change our lives if we will let you. Help us prepare by setting our hearts on fire with love, by blowing away our fears and doubts, by turning our ears to the rich diversity of language and culture around the world, by opening our eyes to the amazing beauty and power of your creation, by breathing into us the joy and hope of the resurrected Christ, in whose name we pray. And so we join our hearts together as we pray the prayer together that leads us as the gathering at Scott Memorial. If you would turn your eyes to the screen. God, help us to gather with you to feed the body, mind, and spirit while being Christ's hands and feet. Help us to love and serve our local community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.